After Thanksgiving in the year 2016, Eric Heffelmeyer was working on his GMC truck at his family home in Vienna, Virginia. So as he recalls, I was on my back, face up, and I was trying to get some corroded brake lines off when apparently the jack slipped and fell down on me. He continued, the minute the jack slipped, there was an almost instantaneous, real strong smell of gasoline. And then whoosh. And he recalls, I thought they'd be pulling out a dead body. Fortunately, his 19-year-old daughter, Charlotte, was home from the Air Force Academy on a Thanksgiving break. She heard the noise and came flying into the garage, barefoot, 5'6", all of 120 pounds. She saw her dad and still can't fully explain what happened next. Charlotte recalls, I lifted the truck the first time, and he said, okay, you almost got it. I finally managed to get it up. It was some crazy strength, and I pulled him out. Once her dad was out, she jumped into the truck, still on fire, threw it into four-wheel drive, and drove it on three wheels out of the garage. Then she closed the garage door to help contain the fire and got everybody out of the house, starting with her sister's baby. I just did what I had to do. I don't feel like a big hero or anything, Charlotte said. She was recognized with the Citizen Life Saving Award by the Fairfax County Fire and later received a $10,000 check from Shutterfly on The Ellen Show. Every so often, we hear a story like Charlotte's. We hear a story of superhuman strength. People do the seemingly impossible, and they have no idea how they accomplish it. What if a power like that was available to every Christian believer? Think about that. Would that not be awesome? If we had that kind of power as a believer, and we did what we could as a believer with this superhuman power to convert people to Christ, I gotta believe there wouldn't be any atheist. Well, I'm here to say this morning that you do have. It is. The Holy Spirit is our power. It is our source when God wants to do the impossible through us. I would never stand up here this morning and be able to do it, what it is that I do up here, good, bad, or indifferent, without the Holy Spirit. It wouldn't happen. You can't do these things all by yourself, on your own. To me, it would be an impossible thing. You see, it all began with the promise Jesus left his disciples just before he ascended back to heaven. And you'll find it in the chapter before today's readings in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. And it reads like this. It's on one occasion, while he was eating with them, Jesus gave them his command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized in water, but in a few days you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You will receive power from the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus is saying here, just sit tight. Just hang loose. Don't go out and do what I've asked you to do on your own. You will be defeated. It won't happen. You will not be successful. But wait for me Wait for the Holy Spirit and then go and do what I ask you to do. Jesus knew they would not be successful. He knew that they needed something other than their own wit and their own strength and their own knowledge in order to bring people to Christ. And he sent the Holy Spirit to do that. So today, we celebrate what happened about 50 years after Passover. A holiday the ancient Jews called Pentecost. Instead of celebrating a harvest of crop, the early church would come to know this as a harvest of souls. Isn't that a beautiful way of putting it? A harvest of souls. Overnight, the church would be born. Not a brick and mortar church, but a church of people who had trusted their lives to Christ. And the story is in Acts chapter 2, which we read this morning. So I want to share today three observations of the original Pentecost experience. These three happenings are as true for us today as they were for the original disciples. So the first one was the power of God comes upon us. Pentecost is all about the mysterious power of God. Verse 2 describes the blowing of a violent wind filling the house where these disciples were sitting. So imagine this. You're in your dining room sitting by your table, or you're in your easy chair in the living room, and all of a sudden this tornado-type force wind comes blowing through your house, disturbs the furniture, upsets the curtains, pictures on the wall are falling to the floor. This force is so great. This power potentially was destructive power, but it was also humbling power. This is the kind of power undoubtedly experienced by the nation of Israel when they were led into the wilderness by a pillar of smoke by day and a fire by night. That was their compass. They were in the wilderness. They didn't know where to go, what to do. But God sent the Holy Spirit to guide them through this wilderness. And they saw smoke and experienced earthquakes from Mount Sinai as Moses met with God. Remember the story? Moses was up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments. And they were feeling, the people down below, the Israelites were feeling the earthquakes. Can you imagine how fearful that was? They were wondering why Moses didn't come back. We're going to be destroyed. Can you imagine that type of a feeling? But it didn't happen. Or remember the prophet Isaiah when he experienced a vision of angels singing. When he experienced temple doorposts shaking as in a violent earthquake and smoke filling the space around him. And his only response to such a powerful God was to describe him and his people as unclean. You can read about that in chapter 6 of Isaiah. So I don't know about you, but sometimes, more often than I care to admit, I take God for granted. He's just there. Sure, I know about him. He's my personal savior. But I just go on about my business, doing what it is that I do. Not even stopping to think sometimes for the God or to ask the Holy Spirit to travel with me, protect me as I go up north, for example. Or give me the wisdom and the words to do what it is that you are asking me to do. I just take him for granted. I know he loves me. And nothing would ever stop that love. But on the other hand, I forget that his ways are not my ways. You see, when you take God for granted, you go out and do these things that you feel you have to do or want to do, and you do them your way. Oh, sure, we can say, well, I know this is what God wants me to do. But without the Holy Spirit, we don't know. We can't do what God wants us to do. On the other hand, I forget his ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. He is so much higher and greater and grander and smarter and stronger than I am. There is no real comparison between God and me. There is no real comparison between God and you and you and you and everybody sitting here this morning. You see, God is God, and we are not. Pentecost is about recognizing the power of God. It's about having your world shaken to the core, having your life turned upside down, and realizing that God is God and you are not. That's what Pentecost is about. The early believers would know about myths and legends surrounding seemingly powerful gods. Remember the Greeks and the Romans and all the gods that they had? They had a god for this and a god for that and a god this and a good god and a bad god and a medium god and god and god and god, and it goes on and on and on. Some of them were powerful. They were even downright mean at some times. Yet, there is something different about this one true God. He is a loving God. He is the God. He is all powerful. And yet he is all loving as well. Notice that even in the midst of all of this potentially destructive power, the Spirit of God rests gently on us. Now I want to say this. I can't tell you how many times I've heard in conversation with other people about this virus that God brought this thing down here to punish us because we were just straying too far away. Anybody that thinks that or believes that could not be more wrong. Thank you. God does not do these things. He may allow it for whatever reasons God has. They would not be our reasons because he is God. But he also will stop it. He will bring the cure when his timing is right. Because God is God. I gotta find out where I was. Did you catch this in Scripture? There is the blowing of a violent wind, and then what seems like tongues of fire. Both of these things would send my blood pressure to the ceiling. How would you react with this? I would be scared to death. Oh my goodness, what's happening? What did I do wrong that God is doing this for me, to me, with me? That would be our natural reaction, I think. I would be looking for exits out of the building. I would be looking for fire alarms to pull. Or looking for my cell phone so I can put it in a quick call to 911. I would be thinking escape at all costs, but notice what happened next. Those tongues of fire separated. They originated out of one source, which we will learn is the Holy Spirit. The very Spirit of God himself. And then they separated and they came, listen to this now, they came to rest on each of the believers. What an interesting thing. We think of fire as destruction, but not in this case. God sent the Holy Spirit in the form of a fire, and rather than destroy or punish, it separated and it landed on every one of the believers, portraying the power that the Holy Spirit has and giving it to the believers. They don't forcefully invade the believers like some aliens in a sci-fi movie. They come down to gently rest on each one. What a beautiful picture of the mercy of God. He is so much stronger than any of us. He is so much more powerful, so much wiser, so much more in control. This God, of all that is created lovingly, comes to rest on his creations. The Israelites in the desert discovered a God of power and glory and mystery on Mount Sinai. They also discovered a God who wanted to personally communicate to them through Moses, to guide them and feed them and bring them into the land full of milk and honey. Isaiah met a God who thought so highly of this one human being that he sent an angel to touch him and make him righteous and holy. The people in the upper room at Pentecost found a powerful and mysterious God who came to rest gently on each one of them. And we find that same God when we humble ourselves and wait for his presence. Can I get an amen? Yeah, for sure. Sometimes we think it would be a lot simpler to know God if we could have been in that upper room with the rushing wind and the tongues of fire coming down to rest on our heads. We just sat back and said, oh, if I was only there, then I would understand. If I was only in this upper room, then I could experience the power of the Holy Spirit and realize it much more than not being there. That wouldn't require so much faith if we were there. I want my own tornado and my fire experience, you tell yourself. But maybe God doesn't change as much as we think he does. Maybe the same God works in much the same way today. Maybe it is, as the author of Hebrews says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Maybe our problem is we don't get quiet enough in the upper room to clearly hear from God. Oh boy, that one really hit home for me. We are so busy, wrapped up in ourselves and our things and our stuff and what we want to do and all of this chatter going on, and we don't hear God. Because we're not focused on God. I know I've got a lot of clutter in my own life. I know I'm busy, busy, busy. I thank God, why don't you come in a louder way? And God may be saying this, but you're not quiet enough or still enough to hear it. So you're just saying, you're sitting back, and at this point you're just saying, speak, Lord. Your servant is hearing. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. And then the third most amazing thing happened at Pentecost. And that would be the presence of God enables us. That is what the Holy Spirit's all about. When I ask the Holy Spirit to fill me, give me the words that you want spoken. He is empowering me. He is filling me with His power. This third mysterious person of the Trinity that is so hard to nail down, He comes to enable us to do what we could never do on our own. Remember Charlotte? Well, like Charlotte in our opening story, He gives us superhuman strength just when we need it. Superhuman boldness. Or some mysterious command of new languages to connect with people in new ways and spread the good news across culture and across barriers. This brings back to mind for me, I have a cousin that early in their life, married life, they listened to God's call. They heard what God was saying to them to go into a mission field. And where God sent him was in this, we say third world. This was probably 10th world country. They were so far back, so far behind. They knew nothing about anything. But they knew God was telling them to go there. So what was the first task they had? Well, if we go there, we have to communicate, right? This was an area of people that hardly anybody in the world knew their language or understood it. But he took a course and he learned these people's language so he could go and could communicate the love of Christ to these people. I don't know, they were there for several years. They no longer are. But you see my point? Mark and Maureen sat down and asked for the Holy Spirit to fill them, to give them the power to learn this language so that they could go and do what God is asking them or telling them to do. Sure, there always will be doubters. It would have been much easier for Mark and Maureen to just say, I can't do this. I have a hard time with English. How am I going to learn some? I won't say it. Some in this Pentecost crowd jeered. You just had too much to drink. But for others, their lives were turned around forever. Peter, the same Peter who had denied even knowing Jesus just weeks before, preached in a newfound boldness. Now he is a new person after Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit filled Peter, which is true for each of us as well. And they say, what can we do? He tells them to turn away from their sins and receive the risen Christ Jesus as their own Lord and Savior. This is the Peter that denied even knowing Jesus. Now he's telling people to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Because the Holy Spirit made Peter bold enough to be a believer and then speak what it is that God wanted him to speak. So when Peter did this, what happened? 3,000 people were added to the church that single day. 3,000 people. And then Peter and the rest of the disciples with the Holy Spirit spread around the world the sole purpose of bringing people to Christ. You notice I said Peter and the other disciples with the Holy Spirit did this. So I ask you this morning, are you ready for God to give you supernatural abilities? The right words when you need them? The right presence of love and forgiveness and truth when you need it? Pentecost is not reserved to the original 120 believers. It is for you and it is for me. The same God still speaks. He still moves like tornadoes. He still rests on us like tongues of fire. He still feeds us to do the impossible. Our part is to wait, to watch, to listen, and to yield. So I challenge you this morning. If you have not received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you have not asked Jesus to come into your heart, I challenge you this morning to do that. I challenge you to call for the Holy Spirit to fill you, to make you bold, to empower you, to where you can find these words that you could have not found before, that would bring Jesus Christ into your life. Look at how the original 120 multiplied the church. It went from 120 to 2,000 or 3,000. And then it went to millions and millions and millions. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. There is nothing that you cannot do if you have the Holy Spirit in your life. Let's pray. Holy God, please forgive us for putting you in a box, for thinking that we have you all figured out. Please take away our complacency, our pride, our comfort, our selfishness, our self-centered living. Help us to wait on you, to depend on you, to watch for you, to need you, to expect you to fill us with your Spirit, to use us in supernatural ways. Ways that will bring the love of Christ and the call of Christ to people who need to repent, who need to turn their lives around, who need forgiveness and hope and purpose and love. So Lord, use us, just like you used Moses and the ancient Israelites, like you used Isaiah, like you've used the 120 gathered in that upper room. Use us today. As we ask this, in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of that mysterious and all-powerful Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Our closing hymn.